Welcome to Check It Out, Conrad, an indie game podcast where every 2 weeks we bring you two indie games and tell you what we like about them. I'm Nick Lauber.
I'm Gary Butterfield.
And I'm Brayden Cameron.
And this week we're doing Towerfall Ascension and Duck Game. It's our couch game. We just got couch game episode. We just got done playing.
We're on a couch.
Literally.
So if it sounds like really bad.
If you hear lots of squeaking
and, yeah.
and turning into a bed.
My apologies because we're just recording this from my couch. We're going to get YouTube episodes of the like couple hours that we were playing games up. And thus this episode is probably going to be pretty short, but we wanted to tell you our thoughts.
We can stretch it out.
I'm sure.
Yeah, tell me about your childhood.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. What was the first duck you ever ran into?
Oh, boy.
And what was the first game you played?
I don't think I could really tell you about that, but I work at a super large footwear company that will remain nameless, but there's a white duck that's on campus, and that duck has its own Instagram tag.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that filled a couple seconds.
Good job. Nice stretch, Brayden.
Thanks.
Good stretching it out. We didn't get far enough in any of these games to do spoilers, so like if we find out who's at the top of the tower or like
or the bottom
where ducks come from, like we don't have that yet.
Yeah. Well, so. It's called Tower Fall, but Ascension, so I don't know which way we're going.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something that can go both ways.
Yeah.
Then something that goes down and then something that goes up.
Yeah. I mean maybe the tower fell already and now you're ascending the ruins of the tower. It's unclear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about that one first then.
Okay. So Tower Fall, without Ascension, was originally released in 2013 on the Ouya.
Ouya.
And Tower Fall Ascension is the name of the port that they released on PS4 and Windows Linux OS X in March of 2014.
Yeah.
And we also played with the expansion that I can't remember the name of.
It's like
Dark World.
Yeah,
Dark World, Dark Doom,
Dark World. I think.
Yeah,
Grim Dark.
So
Duck Game.
Yeah, and it's
Towerfall Ascension. Duck Game.
Towerfall Ascension: Duck Game.
And it is a it's a single screen archery platformer.
It's Bubble Bobble, with the mechanics from Colossus Souls or whatever that game is.
Titan Souls.
You have to retrieve your arrow.
Mm-hmm. Limited arrows. Yeah.
Yeah, you have limited ammunition. But it reminds me more than anything of Bubble Bobble.
Yeah,
where it's like platforms and it has wrapping on the borders of the screen. But unlike Bubble Bobble, there is a friendly fire and a much wider variety of enemies and things that do.
And power ups.
Mm-hmm. The Bubble Bobble has a couple power-ups.
Right. I was saying like Bubble Bobble.
Oh yeah.
Power ups.
Yeah.
So what did you like about it, Gary?
It's really fun. It's like chaotic, but also technical. Like sometimes you don't really feel like you're controlling what you're doing, but then every once in a while you pull off something really cool, like a cool snipe from across the room.
Mm-hmm.
It has a dodge system, which I didn't get to the bottom of, but I always appreciate like a roll dodge.
Yeah.
I always like iframes. So it's like it has this high ceiling for mastery. So if you get good at, like it's something you can get good at. If you want to. And the bosses were all imaginatively designed. We fought three of them, I think.
Yeah.
And all three of them were very different.
Yeah, and in the Dark World expansion, the campaign. Because it has two campaigns. The original one was only one or two player, but it still had a four-player versus mode. And then when they came out with the expansion, they switched up the mechanics a little bit for a four-player campaign, which gets a lot more hectic.
Yeah.
Yes.
I personally liked the four player more. The ability to, like, that it introduces the ability instead of having lives, you can revive your friends as you're playing through. And I liked that a lot. It was great when we were able to rescue ourselves and then, rescue each other and then pull off the victory.
Get killed.
Or it was great when all three of us died at the exact same time.
Yeah. So you can, well, anytime you can introduce, like, a medic role, like, that's really, really useful because that's another very beginner-friendly thing. Like, we were all pretty much beginners at this. I know Nick played this a little bit before. But if you're not, if you're just playing with online randos or playing with your friends, like, casting yourself as a medic is a really good way to feel valuable and be valuable without having to do impressive shit.
One thing to note about this game, actually, unlike Duck Game, this one doesn't have any online features.
Oh, okay.
You can only play this on a couch.
So. Okay, gotcha. I understand, like, it's not trivial to input the netcode to do things online.
I'd love to see it online, though.
It would work just fine.
It's really hard to connect with four people to play a game nowadays, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It seems like it would be fun even with just two players. I wonder if it would be fun one player. A lot of people I know like this game, but I don't know how good that would be.
No, I you're talking about the high technicality. It'd be really awesome to see like a speed run for like high level campaign. Play. Yeah.
Especially co-op. Like co-op speed runs are always really fun to watch. Yeah. Because like this is a game where you can get in each other's way quite a bit.
Yeah, it's got the like new Super Mario Bros. Style bumping others away and stuff.
Yeah, and sure there were plenty of times when we were trying to shoot something and we accidentally killed each other.
Yeah.
Because someone was doing something and we didn't know what it was or
I'm pretty sure at least once there was like arrows just swapping screens and hitting each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah. The we didn't talk about it yet, but there's also a versus mode.
Yeah.
Which is also really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that's much more chaotic and fast paced.
Yeah.
Because you don't have this resurrection mechanic and you know, having to watch your ammo count to this small of a degree, and you can pick up each other's arrows, which is really cool. You get arrows from treasure chests, so like that's how I died most of the time in this, is just running out of arrows because I'm not used to that as a consideration. But it's a really neat kind of tactical.
Yeah.
You know, you have to make your shots count.
Yeah. And noticing that, I started hoarding arrows specifically so that you couldn't have any.
Yes.
And then I would try to get myself into a better position to kill you.
Yeah, yeah,
the works.
On the versus mode, like it's worth noting that we were too bad to make good use of this, but if you manage to successfully dodge someone's shot, you collect their arrow.
Yeah, you can, catch projectiles. Yeah. I think I wonder about the co-op mode though too, because if it's a fairly steep difficulty ramp up, I felt like the new enemies they were introducing were really tough.
Mm-hmm.
If it just keeps at that trajectory for another like 4 or 5 levels, like it just seems like it's going to be almost unpleasant by the time it gets to the top of that. Like some of the enemies that were fairly common by the time we stopped playing were huge pains in the ass to deal with. And as long as you can resurrect each other, it kind of balances that out.
Yeah.
But if continues are limited, I didn't see a number next to continues.
I think they are limited.
Yeah, like limited continues is kind of a bad idea, I feel like, for that.
It seemed like every time we went to a new level, we would die immediately. And then we would get kind of used to whatever the new creatures were. And then we did okay. And then, yeah, the last boss we fought, we really had a tough time.
Yeah, it took us quite a while.
That was my favorite one, though. Like, that was my favorite design of a boss. Because it was like, it wasn't about him. He wasn't defensive.
Right.
Like, because we always knew where he was and when to attack him. It was just about learning, like, the tells for when he was going to do things.
Yeah.
So I like that one a lot more than the other ones, which it just kind of had, like, felt a little bit more generic and had, like, shield kind of mechanics. Like, they weren't always vulnerable. But yeah, and then like the fact that there's friendly fire and then that you can die to your own arrows as well if you fire them in the ceiling, which you have to do a lot of the time. There's just a lot of things to consider. I almost don't think it would play very well either without it being co-op where you can resurrect each other. Like playing that with limited lives, I could see you just flushing your lives down the toilet really fast.
Yeah, the two-player campaign, instead of a resurrection like whole section, is if you survive a wave, even if the other person's out of lives, they still come back with one life.
Yeah.
And then you can keep going from there. So it's still down to like a, can one person survive this wave?
Yeah. Yeah, but even then, if one person, if you guys both get down to one life and you're just like kind of ping-ponging it, like you guys both have to get through all the waves without dying, that's tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know about that because it is just really hard. It's like both these games that we played today are really chaotic and hard to tell what's going on.
Yeah.
There's a lot of visual noise on the screen. Like it was hard to know exactly what was what.
Yeah. And then portals form, but you don't know what enemies are really going to come out of them. So you could be expecting one thing and
End up
getting sniped or
accidentally
shooting one of the blowfish that's a little bit too close.
Yeah, things. And then they release those other things that blow up when you shoot them. So like one of the things that Nuclear Throne does, the kindness that like enemies are not aggressive right when you start a round in Nuclear Throne. Here they are. Like they just form fully pissed off.
Yeah, especially the archer ones. They'll just come out and immediately like dodge your arrow or shoot one off.
Yeah.
So those guys are...
Which is cool. Like, I want it to be challenging, but I feel like it's balanced for being able to have somebody to resurrect you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It also might be that the expansion campaign is balanced a little more towards expecting people to have played before.
Yeah, that's true. So we jumped right into it. Like, it's possible that... that's very true.
That's very possible.
Yeah. But it's really fun.
Yeah,
like, it's a fun couch co-op game. I dig it. Yeah. Did you dig it, Brayton?
I did, quite a bit. I love that there were so many different enemy types. The fact that there were, 10 different, sort of 10 different people you could play as?
Yeah.
Yeah, even though they don't have different abilities. They just look different. They look cool, though. It's attractive art.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the art's really good. The music's pretty good, too.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, apparently there's, unlockables and stuff. I think it does, a Jamestown-style, it expects you to beat it like on one difficulty to unlock something, and then you go back and play through on another difficulty. But I haven't, we haven't played far enough to explore any of that.
Yeah.
It's also, when you do the multiplayer, you get a whole host of options similar to Smash Brothers, so you can choose even down to like how much the arrows home in, how much auto aiming there is.
Yeah.
So you can customize your multiplayer experience, which, like you mentioned, speedrunning, like even as high level competitive play would be really fun to watch.
I'm sure. Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So that's Towerfall. Let me pull up the stats for Duck Game. So yeah, the other game we played is Duck Game. Duck Game was released on June 4th of this year, and it's published by Adult Swim Games. The developers on Steam is just listed as Landon Podbelowski. But there was like some, he had a title in the game, but I don't remember what it was.
Yeah,
like some logo screen at the start of the game. But yeah, Duck Game is, it's another like platformer style game, but this is purely centralized on versus mode with very high chaos. Lots of items spawning, and everyone just trying to all out murder each other as quick as possible. And it just, they come real, the games come real fast paced, and then after I think 5 of these rounds, then it'll do a tally up, and the first person to get to 10 or more wins. 10 or more wins of rounds wins the whole game.
The closest thing it is to what we've done on the show is Boring Man.
Yeah,
it's like a really polished version of Boring Man.
Yeah, with much more like simplistic weapon mechanics and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, but because it's made to make you laugh. It's not made to like be a serious game. Like we watch YouTube's, like we laughed more playing that game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it is a really funny game. But Brayden was saying in the green room. whether it has the kind of staying power, and I wonder about that too. Like, it is really fun, like if you just get a group of people together, because it's so goofy.
Yeah.
And it is it didn't feel like the levels like really repeated. Like, we'd get some of the same tile sets, but yeah, they all felt really different, and we played a lot.
Yeah, we went through 2 total rounds, which I think is like 30 matches each, so probably about 60 matches that we ended up playing. And like it is kind of like the Outback Steakhouse of games, where there's really no rules, just right. And and you start the level, you don't know what's happening, you don't know what guns you have access to, or even if there are guns. Sometimes all you had were boxes, and you're trying to kill each other that way.
Yeah.
Some of the levels were huge, some of the levels were absolutely tiny, and you just you basically just jumped over. You basically just jumped over like 2 small platforms to try to push each other off. But yeah
they had like different gimmicks. So like, it would be like, oh, here's all, everyone's on a very small platform that's crowded with weapons, or everyone is very far away from the one weapon in the level and who can get there first, things like that. So they'd have these kind of little like miniature implied goals. Like, there's a really fun one where you're on a stage where there's instruments set up, and then you run to the instruments, but they don't do damage, they're not weapons.
Yeah.
They just make music. You know, so like, you have to run and actually try to find the one gun in the level. And there's a huge variety of weapons as well. It felt like they were, you know, pretty creative. Like, I think near the end of our play session, we started getting kind of the limits of what was there.
Yeah, there's more repeating by the end of it.
Yeah. But like, for a while, it was just like, oh, every one of these is different. Yeah. And like, there were definitely kind of quirks that I was still learning, like, oh, what needed to be reloaded, you know, what needed to like, what would fire straight, what would actually fire, you know, in kind of a spread, things like that.
Yeah, what had range, what didn't.
Yeah.
I think my favorite level concept that we played, even though we didn't manage to do it quite correctly, was it only had these freeze guns that you could hit each other with, and then there was just a big pool of lava in the middle. So, and the whole thing was walled off. There was no way to fall out of bounds. So the only thing you could do was try and freeze other people, pick them up, and throw them into the lava pool without hurting yourself.
The thing that was really fun about that is that you didn't just instantly die when you're in the lava. You caught on fire. So you could run around catching everyone else on fire.
Yeah, you can take victory away from your opponents.
Yeah.
Like, it's full. It's like the anti-Smash Brothers, where like, it is not about, you know, no items, final destination. Like,
right.
It is, you know, this does not have a huge skill ceiling. Like, you could be better at this game than we ended up, but it's also just so chaotic that, like, it's going to be more fun than fair.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. Like, I like that. I'm in favor of that. You know, and it's also legitimately pretty funny. Like, the actual, the timing, there were a lot of little emergent situations that happened and little, you know, beats that were very funny that I think that the game is designed to make.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there's a dedicated quack button, which does nothing but quack.
Yeah.
And I kept making Gary laugh by every time I won, I would just do a single quack right at the end.
It's very funny. Like, all the ducks are very, like, deadpan. Like, they all have this, like, they have these neutral expressions on their face, like, even when they're on fire. Which is real funny.
Yeah.
And then
something so smug about that single quack.
That single quack at the end is really, it's really smug. It's great. Yeah.
And then the in between levels, there's a new fake news program that does highlights and kind of gives commentary. And the highlights seemed random to me.
Yeah.
Like they weren't necessarily our highlights, but like it was still fun to see them because there were these little, like, you know, there are little funny things that happen every time a character gets knocked out in Duck Game.
Yeah.
Like I could see this being like, it straddles the line between like a YouTube bait game and like a legit game. Like it is just a party game that is really fun to watch, but is not as shallow as a Goat Simulator.
It definitely feels like the old type of party games, like back when I would go to a friend's house and four of us would just play Halo and then we would crack each other up like with our ridiculous kills. Just like driving one of the carts. I don't remember what the names of these things are.
They're called Warthogs.
Warthogs.
Yeah. I've never played a Halo game.
Yeah.
Even I know that.
I drove a Warthog dead into a friend of mine who was shooting me with a rocket launcher at the same time. It was an amazing kill. And we remember, like, we recorded it and we played it back and we were just laughing and laughing.
Yeah, there's a lot of that same sort of, like, emergent gameplay, the humor out of the gameplay on a much, like, simpler scale.
Well, it's designed for it.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not, you know, like you'd have to do that. Or like, I've told the story on Watch Out Fireballs before, but like Tony Hawk's Pro Jousting, which is when you set up a rail and then two players start at the other end and they both grind it to try and knock the other one off. Now it is jousting because I misspelled jousting in the name of the course. But we played Tony Hawk's Pro Jousting and that was really fun and just like goofy and would cause the physics to freak out and do all this stuff.
Oh, sure.
And it was really funny. But this is just made to have those little moments.
Yeah.
Like, not through glitching out physics, but just through, like, just really fast-paced.
We used to play Jedi Knight 2 a lot.
Oh, with, like, Force Push Only?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. We would do Force Push Only, and that was all we would do. And then someone took Force Pull and just kept pulling us down when they would push us. I was like, that was amazing. That was the best choice.
So it is really, it's valuable to have a game that's seeking that out.
Yeah.
I don't think that happens all that often, you know, without it being, and actually succeeding at it. You know, like, that's some of what, you know, your Goat Simulator is trying to do, but it doesn't, this is better than that, I think.
Yeah. We don't like to talk about, like, game price a lot, because, you know, game's worth whatever you're willing to pay for, essentially, but I think this is kind of hitting a sore spot with $13.
Hmm.
Like, the, just how this game is meant to be played seems like it would be a huge seller at a really cheap price point.
Yeah.
Because like $7.
Yeah, because it is something like you can legitimately, like, I'm having people over, let's download Duck Game and just play it. And that, like, the price of a movie rather than an investment you're going to keep going back to.
Yeah, I think Towerfall might be more expensive than that, but there's also
more depth,
content to it. This is just a goofball. And it's really great, it's super funny, but for $13, it can be, especially if you're playing online, each person has to pay that much. That's going to hit a sore spot.
I can see if they continue to support it. Like, new levels and new weapons would go a long way.
That would be cool, yeah.
You know, like, new weapons especially. Like, really, really up that factor. And if it just keeps kind of happening, you know, like, they just keep adding to it.
They just keep adding level packs with more levels and more junk.
Good. And even, I mean, levels. Like, it's even hard to say level packs because we didn't see a repeat, you know? So, like, there are a lot of levels. I just would like to see more weapons.
I feel like the levels were designed around specific weapon spawns.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It reminded me also of Worms a little bit. It's like fast-paced Wormed. Mm-hmm. Worms.
Yeah, there's a real-time Worms clone called Lero.
Okay.
That this is kind of similar to.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
In Lero, do you play as Worms or Ducks?
You play as custom sprites. You can put whatever, you can make your character
dicks.
Whatever sprite.
What you mean.
Yeah.
So you play as Dicks.
Yeah, you play as Dicks.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the default might be like Worms.
Which is kind of a worm duck combo.
Yeah, Worms with grotesque mushroom heads.
Yeah, it's exactly like a gooey duck.
A gooey duck, yeah.
Yeah. So what do we learn today?
Couch games are good.
Yeah, couch games are fun. It is a fun thing. I get annoyed with the online punditry that's like, where's the couch games, you know? Because one, like, a lot of the online games you can play on the couch. And it is fun, but I don't feel like there is one. Like, I feel like being grumpy about all games being online are like the people who are super grumpy about how nobody listens to albums anymore.
Right.
And it's like, I kind of get it, but also, you know, at some point you're on the wrong side of history and you should just chill out with it.
Well, I don't know, wrong side of history exactly. It's not like a social...
It's a civil rights issue of our age. It's still the wrong side of history in that, like, it's not the way that history is moving. Like, more and more of our interactions are going to happen online. Like, we're going to be doing more of our gaming stuff online. Like, that's going to happen.
I know. I completely agree with you. At the same time, I do miss it. I do, like, for example, like, coming over here and playing video games was really fun. And, like, it's something that we had to have a special reason to do. And I kind of do miss that. Like,
but is that on us or is that on games that are released?
Well, it's a little bit of both, right? It's some of it's on the fact that we're older and busier. And it's not like I'm 16 anymore and just go hang out at my friend Marty's house all the time. But then part of it is also because there aren't as many games to play two-player couch.
I don't know if that's true. There's as many, but
maybe there's just not ones that I want to play because, like, I played them 10 years ago.
Yeah.
No, I feel like, so me and my buddy Derek will try to play co-op games online all the time, and we'll be looking for new ones. And it's we find couch co-op games that we can't play all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, I just feel like there's a lot of it going on. It's just become like a real popular thing to rag on, but it's not actually true. Like, it's hard. Like, what's the last game that's like a co-op game that was online co-op only that you really wanted to play couch co-op? And so, I mean, that's an honest question, not a rhetorical question. Like, I'm having a hard time thinking about it.
I agree with you.
I would probably any of the like larger strategy games that I've played where there's like not hot seat functions anymore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess that's like a niche genre that I don't... I'll take your word for it. Like, it's not something I play. I don't mean niche. I don't mean that in a dismissive way. I just mean that, like...
No, I know.
You know, that's not something that I've played, but
yeah, I've heard that before. It's definitely much more the other way around. Like, the Lego series is only local.
Yeah.
And those are really fun co-op games, but you cannot play them online.
Yeah.
And... I was thinking of something else too, but Binding of Isaac has that.
Yeah, I would love to play Binding of Isaac online with people. And I was really hoping they would have that initially, and it would get announced. It never did.
Right.
So I feel like couch co-op is still around, even though maybe not for strategy stuff. Because you're not the first person I've heard who have said like Civilization's like a really fun party game if you get it to work. Weirdly enough, like, it doesn't seem like it would be, but like, if you just have people wander over to the computer when it's their turn, like,
yeah, we played a lot of like Heroes of Might Magic specifically, those sort of games. Jeremy and I used to play Masters of Orion all the time.
Yeah,
and it was nice because we lived together, so we would just like leave each other's rooms to go play our turns.
I never had that hot seat strategy experience. I played plenty of Civ, but never did that. Like, yeah.
I guess I just want both. Like, I don't, any of the rhetoric that's about one is dominating and, you know, should be, is annoying to me. Like, I find value in both.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah. And this was really fun. Like, it's not like I would be having more fun if we were doing this in our own computers.
No, definitely
you
know,
like,
not.
Like, it is really fun in person, especially for something like Duck Game. Like, Duck Game you can play online, which would be fun, but it is much more fun when you're next to somebody and you can, like, look at them and get their reaction after something weird happens.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like if I played Duck Game on my own, alone, I would have been really frustrated and probably wouldn't have had a good time because I wasn't very good at it, but as the YouTubes will show. But I think playing with my friends in an environment where I'm feeding off of the fun that both of you are having as well as that, like, helps out a lot. Because at home, I would have just been like, I'm terrible, this game sucks. And then just raged.
And then flipped over your computer.
Yeah.
And Paul Rudded it up.
I would have Paul Rudded it up. And then I would have just watched reruns of Cake Boss.
Yep. Cake Boss. So both games are recommended for slightly different reasons.
Yeah.
And we're in favor of both couch and online co-op.
Agreed. Thanks for coming over, guys. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, super fun.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So sorry about any quality issues. Like I said before, this is recorded literally on a couch. But hopefully the videos make up for that. So thanks for listening, guys, and we'll catch you next time.
Yeah, and if you want to support the show, you can head on over to iTunes and hit us with a rating or review, or go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and give us a couple of bucks a month. That's appreciated.
Yep, and you can find us on facebook.com/checkitoutcomrade. Or Twitter @ComradePodcast.
Yep, and we're always interested in new games to do. We had the games that were kind of on our list, and now we're kind of caught up, so suggestions are welcome.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Duck Game was suggested by someone on SA, but I don't have the name on me, so apologies, but thank you for the suggestion.
So yeah, if you're on something awful, give yourself a pat on the back.
Yeah.
That's the entire site. Richard Lotax Kiyaka, give yourself a pat on the back.
All right, guys, have a good one.